So, got a lot of information I want to get to. I want to leave time tonight, if I can, if I have time, for Q&A. I'm sure somebody has some kind of question that, you know, I can't cover everything. So I will be willing to answer any questions and go wherever you want to go with it. But I want to start off right quick. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Folks, once again, God's word is true, and it doesn't just contain truth. It is truth. And that is the difference there. But and it's forever settled in heaven. So it's important. It's important. Now, I want to say this. Every geologic feature on this earth was formed either at creation, at the flood, or after the flood. Everything is, there's no billions of years, of eons of time, of all this kind of stuff. So everything you see, no matter what it is, it was formed somehow in that kind of area. Now, I want to show you this. Genesis 6, 7, and 8. I think I mentioned this, but if not, is where the flood account is going to take place. Genesis 6, God says, Noah, build a boat. Genesis 7, he floods the earth. Genesis 8, they get off the ark. Genesis 9, they're worshiping God, and it's all done. I mean, Genesis 8. Genesis 8 is where the flood water stopped. Genesis 9 is where they're getting off the ark and built an altar and worship, and life starts all over. Genesis chapter 7, all right? For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. We all know about the 40 days and 40 nights. Genesis 7, God says, for yet 7 days. In fact, different translations will say it this way. For in 7 days I'll send rain. 7 days from now I'll send rain. 7 days from now I'll send much rain. 7 days from now we'll make rains pour down. That's kind of cool. Now think about this. Noah's building this ark on dry land for everybody to see. He wasn't hiding his faith in the closet like so many do today. He's out there. And can you imagine all the mocking and ridiculing and scoffing and just harassment that he must have undergone? Building a boat? They'd never seen rain. What in the world are you doing with this thing, you know, on dry land? And then God says, you got 1 week. He had all this time to build it, and now God says, it's coming. You got about a week. Genesis 7, verse 10, and it came to pass, after 7 days, the waters of the flood were on the earth, in the 600th year of Noah's life, second month, 17th day of the month, and on it goes. Now, this is interesting, because God said, you got 7 days, and then the Bible says, after 7 days, here it comes. So it's a done deal. It's a done deal. But also it says, the same day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and it rained. The rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So this is important, because now I want you to try to understand and just put yourself in your mind in the original creation. The Bible says in Genesis 2, 5 and 6 that it didn't rain in the original creation. There was a mist that came up from the ground. It did not rain. Now all of a sudden, at this same day, the same day, all the fountains of the great deep broke up and the windows of heaven opened. Do you realize all over this earth, scalding hot stuff is coming up from the ground, and really cold stuff is coming in from the sky, all at one time, everywhere on earth? This is a big deal. This, you know, a lot of times people will say the flood was a tranquil flood, or it was a local flood or something. Not based on what the Bible says. No, this was a major cataclysmic event taking place right here. And can you imagine all of the people that wanted on board that boat along about then? See, here's an important point. God gave these people a long, long, long time. And you know what they did? Deny, reject, scoff, ridicule, harass. But at one point, at some point, they all learned the truth. Oh, this is real. It's coming down. Now, the thing is, there were no doubt many, many people that wanted on board that boat along about then. But it was too late. There was one door on that ark. It was God's door. The Bible says the Lord shut him in. The Bible says God closed the door. You know, if God closes a door, it's closed. I mean, that's all there is to it. It's too late. You know, the only way to get saved in this day was to go through God's door in His time, in His way, or it's not going to happen. And it's really no different today. Jesus Christ talking, I am the door. By men, if any man enter, he shall be saved. We still have to go through God's door in His time, in His way, or it's not going to happen. That's kind of cool. That's important. That's important. Now, I want you to try to put yourself in the place of Noah and or his family when all this chaos is going on. Now, just imagine. No doubt most all of you, if not all of you, have been praying for something over a course of time somewhere in the last, you know, in your lifetime. And, you know, you pray, and it seems like nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden something happens. And then what's usually the people's comment? Oh, a lot of times they say, I can't believe that. No, don't ever say that. No. If you're praying for God to do something and He does it, don't say, I can't believe that. You know, don't say, I don't believe it. But that's real common. Or people, they just, oh, God really did. I mean, there's a shock, a surprise. Imagine at the time of this, I mean, you've got all these animals, all these people, everything, and all of a sudden it starts to rain. Oh, even for Noah and his family. Oh, this is real. Oh, what are those? Raindrops. Wow, what's a raindrop? I don't know. And all of a sudden, the boat lifts and it starts to float. Oh, oh, oh my, oh my. Can you imagine? And the noise and the screaming and everything from all the animals and people and everything that are not liking the idea. Have you ever heard an elephant scream? That's loud. Have you ever heard a caged raccoon? I mean, that's loud. That's terrible. Now, can you imagine all these animals that would have been undergoing this same kind of thing and this fear and dread and all this stuff is taking place? Now, I want to say this. The Bible says here that the waters prevailed, increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up upon the face of the waters. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills were covered. Now, people, again, they'll say it was a local flood. It cannot be, because the Bible says all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. Everything was covered. This is not a simple area, a localized area. This is everywhere. This is a major, major thing. And I want to say this, too, because every other translation except King James, and King James, if you look the word up, the definition, it does say the high mountains. The Bible talks about the high hills. So people say, well, maybe it was just a rolling hill or something. No, it means all the high mountains. And every other translation will say it was the highest mountain, the high mountains, all the high mountains. Everything was underwater, everything. All the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And the mountains, in fact, here it's talking about mountains in the same context here. But the point is, however high the tallest mountain was, we don't know how high it was before the flood, but however high that was, the water was 15 cubits above that. Everything is underwater. So this is a major flood that's taking place. Now, I mentioned this the other day, but I want to say it again because I want to show you and say something else about it. But you have high tide, low tide, and all that kind of stuff coming in all the time. And there's always enough land to stop the water. But the thing is, there'll always be a debris line. If you have a flood, there'll always be a debris line at the height of the flood, because all this dead stuff is floating along, and then the water recedes and dead stuff gets hung up, all this garbage. It doesn't matter, even on a house, even when a house gets flooded, I mean, you'll see the debris line on that thing. So just imagine now, all this water is coming up and going back now, but at that time it's all going along, and remember the jar we talked about and all that layering. But also, because of all that dead stuff, you're going to have a whole bunch of buried stuff in that dirt, in that mud, that used to be alive on this earth. And in time, that's going to turn to stone. And it does not take long for a fossil to form. Anybody can make a fossil. If you have a low spot in the ground where it doesn't have to running water, just leaching, you know, just goes down the area. If you take some kind of stick or bone or whatever. If it's a bone, make sure it's not cooked, a raw bone, and or just a stick or a steak. Get a limb out of a tree, bury it in the ground about a foot down, not all that far, and put a stick in the ground and write on it, because you will forget where you put it. But go back and check it like 2 years later. You'll have a fossil. Because it does not take millions and millions of years. Because as that item, whatever it is decaying away, the water will carry the water, the minerals in the water and the minerals in the dirt, and replace those molecule by molecule, one at a time. And that's why when you look at a fossil, it looks like exactly what it used to be. It's just turned to stone, that's all. Because that's exactly what took place. But anybody can do that kind of thing. Even during a tsunami or a hurricane or something, you might want to move in a little bit, but there's still enough land to stop the water. But at the time of the flood, there is no land showing to stop the water. So it's going to keep going. Now, having said all that, I want you to think about this. This is the northeast coast of our country, Cape Cod right there. The continental shelf, it goes out. I mean, it goes a long way. If you've ever been to a beach, you know, sometimes you can walk a long way out there, and it's not all that deep, okay? But do you know that maybe they used to build their homes way, way, way out there, and now that's underwater? And that'll make a whole lot of sense in just a little bit. But maybe that used to be the beach way out there, and something's happening, and the water level is not staying steady. Now, Genesis 10 is something interesting is said here. Unto Eber were born two sons, and the name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. All right, in the days of Peleg, the Bible says in Genesis 10, the earth was divided. Now, here I have a longevity chart, and it starts up with Adam and come on down and goes on. And this is the flood line coming in. Peleg was born about 100 years after the flood, and he lived for 239 years. Just keep that in mind. About 100 years after, and around 239 years was his lifetime. In this time, it says, the earth was divided during that time frame. Peleg means to divide by water, irrigation, river, stream, gully, division, river. Peleg means to divide by water. And now think about this. The same day, Genesis, remember this, the same day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, the winds of heaven opened, an enormous amount of water is coming onto this earth for the first time in history. This is a big, big deal. Now, Psalm 104 is sort of an overview of everything, but Psalm 104:6 says, thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. So however high they were, we don't know, but it was above them. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. God had something to say, and this stuff races off. When? They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys. This is an old English phrase. We don't really talk this way anymore. But like it literally means the mountains rose and the valleys sank down. And a lot of times, even in a King James Bible, there'll be a little footnote with a side commentary or whatever on it, and literally actually say the mountains rose, the valley sank down, went unto the place which thou hast founded for them. So I want you to get a picture of this. The in the original creation, it's the creation, it's awesome, and then the flood happens. While everything is underwater, while it's underwater, thou covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. The mountains rose and the valleys sank down. And all of that water is going to race down into that low spot. And the Bible actually says that's what exactly happened. Unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over or turn again to cover the earth. Now, folks, this is important. And a lot of times people get stumped, caught, and they don't know what to do about it. A lot of times if you're witnessing to somebody, just some scoffer, whatever, just some friend at work, and you get on the flood, the ark, that whole issue. A lot of times the question will come up from the friend Okay, wait a minute. Wait. You believe the Bible. You believe there was a worldwide flood. Everything's flooded. Yeah. A lot of times they'll ask, is there enough water to totally flood this earth? I get asked that all the time. Is there enough water on this earth to totally flood the earth? Most people say yes, because they believe the Bible, the earth was flooded. But the answer is no. There's not enough water on this earth to flood it. It can't. God says he put a bound there, that a boundary that the waters can no longer cover this earth. It can't happen. The reason is the big, tall mountains are now there and the deep, deep valleys are now there. The water that did flood the earth is all now in the low spot and it cannot cover the earth again. There are several places. In fact, in Genesis 9, just before the Genesis 10, we're talking about here in a minute, but in 9, God says over and over and over, when he's talking about the rainbow, he puts a bow in the cloud and all that, that's in chapter 9, and he says several times that he's not going to flood this earth again. It's really cool. He actually says it in several different places throughout Scripture. In fact, he says it cannot flood again. It cannot flood again, and that is exactly the reason why. He sendeth the springs into the valleys and run among the hills. Now, everybody's seen this kind of thing, and it's always been taught that these things used to be together. All these continents, and something's happening and ripping them apart, Pangea, you know, and they're sweating apart. That's not true. That is not true about that. Now, I want you to think about this. If you have some dirt or sand or just whatever, and just rake it out, make a nice, you know, smooth spot so you can see what you're doing, and just take your arm and cock your hand over a little bit and just blast it down in there and come back up, you're going to create a low spot. Now, fill it up with water. It sure is going to look like this side would slide right over and fit in with that side right there. That's not what happened at all. Those two things don't come together. They just happen to be one side and then the other. That's the only thing that's taking place. It's the only thing taking place. The water is now dividing the land. It started in the days of Heleg. The earth was divided by water. That's the reason it came. And the weather cycle, the patterns that we have, would immediately kick in at the time of the flood. You got this scalding hot stuff coming up, really cold stuff coming in. These huge temperature changes are coming together for the first time in history. That had never happened before. It was a stable environment. It didn't rain in the original creation. Another thing that is kind of a pet peeve, but I don't know what else to call it, but of mine is there are so many things that people... We believe the Bible says that it doesn't. For instance, the lion and the lamb are going to lie down together again. I mean, you can get pictures and posters and figurines and all that. There's nowhere in the Bible that says the lion and the lamb are going to lie down together. It's not in there. Another thing is most books and or even Sunday school rooms at churches where they have paintings, if they're doing the 7 days of creation, six creation, one rest, but they'll usually put little puffy, that's hard to say, it's got a P and an F, puffy clouds on those. And then every day, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they'll all have those clouds. That's not true. If you don't have rain, you can't have clouds. Because clouds are a consequence of the water cycle. And that wasn't here yet till after the flood. In fact, Genesis 8:22 says the seasonal changes, summer, winter, harvest, hot, cold, seed time, didn't come until Genesis 8:22, after the flood. It wasn't there in the original creation. You cannot have evaporation and cloud formation without rain. Eventually, it's going to rain. It didn't rain in the original creation. All that stuff came in as a consequence of sin, as a consequence of the flood. That's when it all got here. It all came in. Now, give me an idea about something. This is the same day, same thing. This is down at the bottom. This is up at the top. Look at the difference. Look at the difference in 8,000 feet, what it does. Can you imagine? The go back to this weather cycle, you know, you have all this. Anybody knows, if it can be snowing like crazy up in the northwest, but down lower, it's rain. It's rain. Up on the higher elevations, you have the freezing rain. It would have still been covered in water, but some frozen, some not so frozen. But the point is, it can be drastic, in even in nowadays. And there were these huge ice caps that had to melt back. Now, this is important because when this stuff came in, these things came in at the time of the flood. They were not tens of thousands of years ago. It was at the time of the flood. And have you ever noticed, I don't know if y'all have ever seen this kind of thing, but sometimes there are just acres and acres and acres and acres of beautiful farm field, and there's some big boulder sitting out in the middle of it. How in the world did that boulder get there? And that, look at this thing. Look at this. This is out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's in the forest now, but I mean, there aren't, it's just there. I mean, how did it get there? Who took it? Who pulled it in there? You know, some guy with a donkey drug it in? I don't think so, you know. I mean, folks, that ice would have had enough energy to move whatever, wherever. Not a problem. All that stuff, that would have been devastating. A serious, serious thing that would have been taking place. But these ice caps had to melt back. Now, there is ample evidence that we actually had ice all the way down to about Kansas City. There's a lot of evidence for it. Newsflash, it's not there anymore. It has been melting back since the moment it was put there. Why do we think it should stop melting today? I mean, how come all of a sudden today it's your fault, your Aquanet, your asthma inhaler, your refrigerator in your car, or in your car, whatever. Remember that article I showed Sunday, that CO2 is the most important on this earth? And they always said that no, it's us polluting the earth with all this CO2. So they put all these laws and rules and regulations on us. It has nothing to do with it. If it was our fault, when it was down to Kansas City, we weren't even here yet, according to them. We're just a bunch of dumb old cavemen if we had anything. And we didn't even have anything. So if it's not our fault, here, how come all of a sudden today it's our fault? That doesn't even make any sense if you think about it logically. Folks, the reality is that ice is not supposed to be there. And it never was supposed to be there. It came in as a consequence of the flood, and it's not going to stop melting back till it's gone. If this place stays here long enough, it'll be gone. It's going to all melt back. Now, I'll give you an example of something. If we have a block of ice, there's a table here. Oh, there's a table right here. If I have a 1 gallon block of ice, just a square block of ice, foot by foot maybe, bigger than a gallon. But anyway, it's cold. I mean, touch it, it's cold. But it's going to start to melt. And as that ice melts, it's going to get liquid on the table. And then if it keeps melting, it's going to get liquid on the floor, and then pastor's going to get upset. And now, let's change the thing. Let's make it the whole room is a big ice block. One big giant ice block. It's like maybe about a 1 foot walkway around the outer edge. And we're going to come in and single file through the door. We are going to tour this ice age. Okay, so we walk around the outer edge of this building, and it's pretty cold in here. Big block of ice. But we just walk out, we leave the room, and we come back about 2 months later. And now the ice is just a little bitty block out in the middle of the floor. It is not near as cold in here, but it sure is wet. Man, oh man. I mean, used to be, I remember we could run and jump and kids could roll cars and we could dance and all this stuff out here, but now all that stuff's underwater. The only dry land is up here where I'm at. Did something happen to shove something just over here and pull this? No. The only thing that took place is the low spot filled up with water. When the low spot filled up with water, an aerial view of this area totally changes. Because now that used to be dry land, now it's nothing but water out there. See, the whole thing is nothing but a heat leg, everything was divided by water. And that's exactly when it took place. And now think about it. I mean, the shape of the continents, this thing, would totally change based on the amount of water that's out there. When it's not all that high, it's just down there and this is still dry, well then we've got this thing. But then when the water keeps rising, then all of a sudden that's underwater too. Now that this is the only thing showing. I mean, you get the point I'm trying to make here. Because the shape of the continents are totally dependent upon the water level that's actually in them. Now, having said all that, there are many articles over the years, maybe some of you know about a bunch of these kind of things, but there are remains of lost cities that are out there under the ocean. Many examples of that kind of thing, where they have lost cities. Whatever you learned in school about how our species spread across the planet is wrong. That's kind of interesting. And no doubt it would be. How dinosaurs crossed the ocean. Land bridges might have enabled transatlantic trek. Yes, there would have been land bridges. See, but it's not millions of years ago, some kind of Pangea thing. All it is it hadn't flooded yet. It hasn't flooded. If the water, let me draw an analogy here. In the original creation, the land is what it is. The oceans are what they are, the seas, the Bible calls it. After the flood, the oceans would have been larger, which would have made less land, because now some of that land's covered up in water. But not as much as today, because we have these huge ice caps that have to melt back. As this ice is melting back, the water is going to roll down the hill, and it's going to fill the low spot, and it's going to keep rising. It's going to keep rising. So the oceans in the original creation versus after the flood versus today. It's just a matter of the ice melting away. That's all it is. And it's not our fault that it's melting away. It's not supposed to be here in the first place. And that's the reason it's melting back. Perhaps a tsunami sank Atlantis. You know, maybe that's true. You know, we always think of it as a fairy tale or a hoax or whatever. Maybe, just maybe, there was something out there. You know, ancient temple dated back as far as 1,500 years was found deep within Lake Titicaca in 2000. They found an entire huge city area under there, roadways and the whole bit, everything. It's underwater now. They have discovered ancient pyramid structure, the ocean off our coast. In 1986, a diver near the island of wherever that is came across some strange stones, and they appeared to have like steps. Appear like steps. And these are them. This is an underwater photo of the thing. I mean, there are many, 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 many examples of structures, man-made structures, that are buried underwater. The reason is, if stuff's done in pre-flood world time frame, when the flood happens, it's going to get buried. If it's not buried yet, when the ice is melting back, the water's going to rise. It's going to bury everything else that it's in the way. And maybe they used to build their homes way out there somewhere. Maybe that was the beach. These huge cut stones out there. It's just incredible. Now, question is there less ice because it's getting warmer? Or is it getting warmer because there's less ice? Now, think about it. Let's go back to the ice block in the room here. When we walk in, it's cool. It's cold. We walk halfway around this thing, it's kind of chilly in here. But when the ice is only this big out there, it's not near as cold in here. See, is the atmosphere warming the ice, or is the ice melting, warming the atmosphere? I don't mean like, you know, like they mean global warming. I'm just saying, even in this room. I mean, is the ice melting causing the temperature to rise, or is the temperature rising causing the ice to melt? See, the reason is only one-sided the way they present it, but it could be either or. You just don't know. Retreating ice, well, actually, it would be both ways, as a matter of fact. But the ice, as it melts back, it's going to show the effects of the drumlins and terminal moraines and lateral moraines and outwash plains and basins and kettle lakes and all the stuff, all the damage it did on the way in. As that ice retreats and melts back, it's going to show all that kind of stuff. It's really kind of cool. We were out at Glacier Bay in Alaska, and it's really cool because there's a lot of ice up there, no question about it. But out of their brochure, of more than 100,000 glaciers in the state, 95% are currently thinning, stagnating, retreating, and most importantly, the rate of thinning is increasing. And that's true, that the ice is retreating and thinning and melting, and it is taking place, but it's natural. It is only a consequence of time. it's been a long time since the flood, and this stuff, just like it's not at Kansas City anymore, it has been melting back, and it's going to continue until it's gone. I'll give you an example. This is the photo point right here, and just notice the Mendenhall Glacier. Now, actually, let me go back. Where's the 1956, okay, right there, 1956. Then again, in 1970s, the photo point, the ice, it's melted back. And then we were there, we are at the photo point, we took this picture, and the ice is just melting away. I mean, there's just not near as much as what it used to be. It's just not there. This says ice limit, 1937. This says ice limit, 1936. All right? Here's Dana standing at the 36 marker, and here's Paul standing, our son, at the 1937 marker. It melted that much, they say, in that 1 year time frame. And it's not just like ice down a hiking trail or a walking trail. It's the whole thing. Everything. That ice has melted back. It is melting back. It's nothing to panic over. It's nothing to get fear of or any of that kind of thing. It's just a natural outcome of time working on the process, because it came in at the time of the flood. And we were at Glacier National Park, and they got to spread their fear and it's your fault kind of thing. But there's this mountain peak that is out there, and they talk about this new forest and new growth as this thing is getting, it used to be out here, and it's growing and growing and growing, and you know, the vegetation is getting higher and higher and higher up the mountain, which, you know, they talk about it as though it's a fear thing, because it's your fault, you know, it's our fault that the ice is melting away and we're causing devastation, but it's not anything of the sort. It's not anything of the sort. It's just a natural outcome. Now, in 1910, there were 150 glaciers. There were 26 glaciers in 2015. When we were out there, I forget the exact number, but it's like 7 or 17 or something. I mean, it's still melting away. The point is, it's still melting and melting and melting away. Now, this is kind of cool. Ellesmere Island is the world's 10th largest island, Canada's third largest. The Ellesmere Ice Shelf is melting away. Some things are breaking apart. They say the Ellesmere Ice Shelf has shrank by 90% in the 20th century. Maybe, maybe not, but it is melting apart. But here's something of interest. In Ellesmere Island, in that area, they found logs, leaves, needles, seed pods, and not totally replaced by minerals, not turned to stone. It just preserved in the original condition up there in that area. Now check this out. Axel Heiberg Island in Canada is in the Arctic Circle, in the Arctic Ocean, I should say. Right? It is the 31st largest island in the world and Canada's 7th largest. And in that thing, they found all kind of tree species, redwoods. They found sycamore, Chinese water chestnut. They found all kind of things. They found the stumps, leaves, logs, seeds, and cones. Leaves were, in some cases, so well preserved that it's difficult to distinguish them from present-day samples. All of this stuff that was under ice for all this time, tropic vegetation stuff, is all throughout it. That's really, really cool when you think about it. Time magazine did an article on this exact issue. The massive logs, gnarled stumps, and matted leaves lying half buried on the rock-strewn hillside make it clear that a thick forest once stood there. Trees that grew 150 feet high and lived 1,000 years. You can read the rings. They look modern. They look like a lush forest area logged fairly recently. 700 miles from the North Pole in the Canadian Arctic, an arid, frigid region hardly conducive to growth of any vegetation, let alone large trees, they say the world was much warmer. Now, they admit that the world was a whole lot warmer at one time. Why? Because as this ice melts back, it's showing evidence of stuff that grew there, lived there, that is a tropic type thing. So they say the earth was much warmer. Okay, time out. If the earth was warmer, and then it's under ice, and now they find evidence that it's warmer because the ice is melting away, why the panic? Maybe the earth is supposed to be warmer and it's just trying to go back to the natural state, so to speak. Why all of a sudden is it our fault that all this warming is taking place when they admit that it was warmer at some point in the past prior to all this ice happening in the first place? See, folks, they're totally inconsistent. And if you have an eagle eye, you know, so to speak, when you hear and read things, when you go to museums, they're fun, they're awesome. But look at the signs and just pay attention to what they are actually saying. It is amazing how this display in this room will contradict this display in this room. They don't have a clue about anything, about any of this stuff. But boy, that one's presented fact, that one's presented fact. But it's not at all, not at all, not even close. You can saw the wood. You can burn it. It's mummified, well-preserved. I mean, they go on and on and on. Redwood, 6 feet across, 19 distinct layers of stumps, killed off relatively quickly, not to decay, but buried deeply enough so to exclude oxygen, not so deeply that it turned them cold. I mean, they just can't figure it out. They can't figure out what in the world would have happened to cause this kind of thing. But the point is, it was much warmer at one time. In the original creation, it would have been probably a tropic type of an environment, just in the 70s or whatever temperature, but it would have been stable. It was a stable condition. There were no rain clouds and storms and blizzards and all that kind of stuff that we experience today. They did not have any of that stuff till Genesis 8:22 is when the Bible says all this stuff comes in. It wasn't there prior. It wasn't there at all. So it's nothing to be concerned about, you know, as far as the way it's always presented. But just know, it's none of it is true the way they present it. A lush forest, how could a lush forest grow so far north indicates the climate there was more hospitable? They cannot figure out what in the world happened. They say the Arctic climate resembled that of Northern California of today. And it probably did. Just about like what Northern California is today, is what there's evidence all up in the far northern regions of this earth, all the way up here, it shows this tropic vegetation stuff. In fact, even back as far as 2015, Discover Magazine, is our climate's future written in Arctic fossils from the warmer past? Yeah, it certainly is. It was certainly a warmer past. Not a problem. It would have happened easily. And it does not take millions of years to turn something to stone. Here's a cowboy boot with a foot and a leg turned to stone in the boot. So obviously, this does not take millions of years. I mean, you name it, it has been found turned to stone. How about some money? Stone Age money. How about a spark plug? There have actually been several spark plugs found. The spark plug is not turned to stone, but it's encased in stone. You break that stone, open it up, you got a fossil imprint. How about some fossil fence wire? How about a teddy bear turned to stone? How about a rose turned to stone? I mean, all kind of things. Clock in a rock doesn't keep such great time anymore. How about a fossil shotgun, fossil rifle? I mean, how about an iron pot found in coal? Now, this is another thing, too, because they found actually several times where they find man-made pots in coal seams and coal beds, and they go digging for coal and dig them out, and they find all this man-made stuff. Bell at one time, they found a bell entombed in coal. How in the world can that be if it takes millions of years for this stuff to form? It's not true. It's just simply not true. How about some fossil car keys? I guess Fred Flintstone had to use something. But here's a fossil bottle. I actually found this bottle in Indiana, and I have it. It's awesome. But on the bottom, this is the full length, the size of the bottle. On the bottom, you can still see, you know how bottles, sometimes they have that a flower shape or something, you know, how the glass all comes together, you know, at the bottom. Anyway, you can see that in the impression of the stone. A 12-gauge shotgun shell turned to stone. How about some more money? I mean, it goes on and on. There have been several hats that have been found and a broom found. I mean, you name it. If you can think of it, man-made item, it's been found. It's been found. So everything can turn to stone really, really, really quickly. It does not take millions and millions of years. It just simply doesn't. How about some fossil mittens? I mean, you name it. It's been found. Anyway, I'm going to stop. It's almost 8, so anybody have any questions about anything?